This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you been struggling lately? Maybe you're having trouble sleeping, difficulty with a relationship, or just suffering from low self-esteem. If so, then BetterHelp wants to help you. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and to help you. You get to talk to your therapist in a private online environment at your convenience. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapist network, and they give you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just need to fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. And there's a special offer to Nowhere to Be Found listeners. You'll get 10% off of your first month, but only if you go through the link or type in betterhelp.com/NTBF for Nowhere to Be Found. That's better, HELP.com/NTBF. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. And you can find the link in our show notes and on our website, nowheretobefoundpodcast.com. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Podcorn. So basically what Podcorn does is they help connect podcasts with sponsorships. You just build a profile for your podcast on podcorn.com, and they give you access to a list of sponsors so you can find one that supports your cause. It's been super simple, so I'm really appreciative. So thanks again to Podcorn for sponsoring tonight's episode, and I'll put a link for Podcorn in our show notes for anybody who's looking to start their own podcast. You'll definitely want to check it out. Previously on Nowhere to Be Found.
You know, as far as talking wise, I was very stern. What was setting out to me is that at around the same certain time frame, everybody had some place to be. We get a message, the one message that we've been waiting for, and the one thing that I needed. And all of a sudden it was like, whoa, wait a second.
I'm your host, Amanda Papineau, and this is Nowhere to Be Found. Last week, we heard from Brett Surplus, a man who's been investigating Michael's case. He walked us through his first several days, which included car chases, sliding down embankments, and hotel interviews. We'll pick back up with the phone call that changed the course of his investigation.
And then the message then turned into a phone call. And then the phone call ended up, and I said, okay, well, how about we meet tomorrow? And because people are scared. And so...
Can you tell me what the message, I mean, just roughly, you don't have to say, you know, exact stuff. I know it's still open, but roughly, like, what kind of message are we talking about here?
Basically, it's the who, what, when, and where. And it ties in with some of the hearsay stuff that was said prior. So I'm like, okay, so now we've wiped the board. We've now, all of a sudden, this has become the main focus. It's like the whole thing has changed. It's like, boom. And so the next day, the persons that we end up getting in contact with come and talk to us and give me things that were said. I've got visual proof, things of that sort, things that are that all tie into it. So everything all of a sudden, it was like, bam, we just got our answers.
And is this like who, what, when, where on Michael, like where he went, or this is something pertaining to, you know, somebody who harmed Michael or something along those lines?
Basically what it was, all I can tell you is that we know that a certain group showed up at a certain time frame. They changed the vibe of the whole camp, which is the reason why everybody around that time frame decided to go somewhere. So it was like, it was now making sense. It's like they all split.
And these are people who maybe are not necessarily like on any lists that we have seen.
up to this point? This is like a new group.
This is a whole, yeah, it's a different variable. It so basically, I mean, later on when we come back to this, I guarantee you we'll have this conversation and then we'll be able to elaborate more on it.
Yeah, but, no, understood.
But as far as this point, I got the gist of as far as who's involved, what took place, and as far as now, it was a matter of going, okay, this is the reason why that they came up with this 4 o'clock story of, you know, so it was pretty much, you know, that's when it was like, okay, everything's now lined out. Everybody had a place to go because the vibe changed. And I made a comment, on one of the posts and I said, it's no different than as far as when the snake shows up with all the rats scattered. And that's exactly what had taken place. And so it was like, these people, I think honestly, you know, in all fairness to them, you know, I think a lot of it has to do as far as being afraid. I think,
talking about the campers that we all know.
The party. I think honestly, I think they didn't set out to, as far as to be, malicious whatsoever. As far as that, I think the whole deal was, I think the fact that no one wants to be added to that equation. And so that's what they're afraid of. And I can understand.
I can understand as well. Yeah.
It's, you know, nobody, especially with what's going on there, and you see every single week that somebody is missing. Now it makes all perfect sense in the world why, as far as that they don't even want to touch it, you know? Right. So it's kind of.
And is that kind of easy? I mean, in my mind, what my mind instantly thinks of when we say that, I'm thinking like, maybe it has something to do with drugs or money, something that people don't want to touch because you don't do that.
Right. Well, and I can honestly tell you, I mean, as far as when it comes to the variable, we know that, you know, ultimately there's some sort of a reason why. And so, right. You know, later that's everything will, everything always does come out. But the one thing, the one key fact about this whole thing is this much. And I truly believe this. And I think that there's one individual, if not two, maybe three, that were at that are somewhat responsible, because there's no doubt about it in my mind that they're the ones who let this other party know that he was going to be there.
Okay.
So because it just, they're two different separate things, and nobody just all of a sudden decides to take a drive and that's where it is. This was something that's
yeah, into the middle of the woods.
No, this to me, this was a planned event in my mind. From what I feel, and you know, I guess only time will tell as far as once we get a little closer on this whole thing. But I think that you know, I think someone who's played a key factor, who's kind of tried to sit in the backlight, but someone who's very visible. And I think that, maybe had his own, personal animosity. Maybe didn't like, you know, the fact that his girlfriend was a little sweet on Michael. Didn't, you know, thought, you know what, maybe with him being out of the equation, it won't be a problem anymore. And for me, paying attention to this stuff and seeing different things, it was like, yo, it's very evident that, to me, there's just no doubt about my mind that I think there's a certain individual that is partly responsible.
And have you spoken with that individual?
No.
No. Okay.
Nope. And I won't speak to him. I don't need to speak to him. My thing is as much as, you know, when we ended up, I told him, I said, you know, this was the seventh day that this, you know, so now I had my answers, you know, 7 days into this thing, and I was scheduled to go back, you know, the next day. And so here now I've got to, you know, sit with the, you know, go with the sheriff's department. I got to go over, you know, everything that I've got and stuff like that. And so I ended up having to stay an extra day. Now 9 days into this thing, and through the mix of it all, it's, you know, a lot of good things taking place. You know, we ended up, we get one individual who we came across that, we ended up getting into a rehab, you know, because, you know, just, wanting to get out of the scenario, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah. I know the Brysons kind of posted that on the, Facebook page at some point, you know, that to please pray for a young gentleman that they didn't name, but that, is changing his life because of this and headed to rehab. So that's, there's another silver lining for you.
It was, you know, honestly, it was, it felt like, I remember I keep talking about as far as a movie, it's like being in the ending of a movie because, when it wasn't really the ending, it was just, it was like an intermission because it was like, I got into the vehicle and to leave to go home and the sun starts to come up and it's like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, we just handed the sheriff's department 3 cases. 7 days, we figured out 3 cases, stolen vehicle, an unemployment thing, and then this deal. So that's not too bad of variables. And I'm looking over and I've got a person who's going to change his life. And it's like the sun's starting to come up and it's coming, it's just beating off the front of my dash, you know. And it was like being at the seeing the credits of a movie, you know. It was surreal. Hmm. If there was good that came out of this tragedy that's going on, and then it keeps going. So you know, here I came back and I've been continuing to push, and every day I'm still, and so I got, you know, more and more, and so it's like, okay, I get this, and then I get this, and then you know, if people keep asking me, you know, am I coming back? It's like, well, you won't know if I'm there. I can tell you that.
So when you got back, I mean, just so, okay, so you do your 8 days. On your 9th day, you drop off all the stuff to the sheriff's department. And then at that point, you're thinking, okay, this is in their hands. I've done everything. Like, are we talking open, closed, done? There should be no wiggle room. Like, what kind of solved it in 7 days? Like, we really know where Michael is? Or what does that mean, really?
We have, for me, it was like, okay, from what I can do, it's like from this time frame, we've got it set into motion to where now it's just a matter of there's a few things that you have to do. You have to, to be able to, when it comes to charges and comes to, you know, between as far as evidence is concerned, there's a lot of things that you have to be for a DA to sign off on certain things. Mm-hmm. So.
And do we have those? Like, have we checked all those boxes? We have actual physical evidence and a timeline and everything. Like, you're confident that it's just a process now, or there's a chance that this could still go, you know, unsolved?
Basically, this would be something that I would say that it's been directed to the detective who's working it. And I know that he's working very diligently. The guy is, he's on fire all the time when it comes to as far as trying to get this thing. He's working very diligently. They actually pulled, because we, that evening when we found out, we'd actually talked to some of the higher ups at 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, this is what we need. We need to preserve evidence. We need to do this. And so it was just a matter of that they just didn't have the resources. So we were getting pushed into the next day. And, when it came to the next day, I mean, they called me. They're like, hey, you know, we got this. And so they kept, you know, in touch with me on that and the Brysons. And then now when I bring, you know, even more information and I've got more, you know, more people that are falling in line and that are contacting me, you know, I'm at a relationship with the detective that, I mean, it's like when I call, he'll answer the phone. I mean, there's been maybe once or twice where I've gotten voicemail, but other than that, he's been great as far as, and I think it's just because he knows that if I'm calling him and contacting them, it's because I'm pushing the needle a little bit further. So we're working really well together. And hopefully, this thing ends up, he ends up doing everything that needs to be done. And I put all the faith on him. And I think, we'll go from there and see where all the cards fall.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. I mean, yeah, that's certainly the best we've heard so far. Everyone so far has said, like, you know, we have nothing. We don't know anything. And, you know, these stories are going in circles and we're no closer day one. You know, Mark and I spoke and he said, you know, the timeline's really messed up and I'm not any closer today than I was when it first started. So it sounds like you were able to kind of build on some of that and come up with enough to where you felt like you could drop it off at the police department and say, all right, it's in your hands now. And here's the legwork, or, you know, help with the legwork at least. But that's the best I've heard so far.
Yeah, it really is. And that's kind of one of the things, like, you know, I wanted to kind of to express to people, because I know as far as with the social media group and stuff.
Yeah.
you got everybody who's, you know, I know that they want to help and stuff, and they want to post, you know, oh, well, you know, here's what happened to so-and-so so many years ago and stuff. And I just want to, like, if you're listening to this, I want you guys to understand something. You know, when you have a family who's been through what they are right now, and the last thing that they want to do when they're trying to deal with as far as social media stuff, the last thing they want to do is see a bunch of different variables and stories and stuff. Because realistically, those people, I mean, their stories mattered at one point, but it doesn't matter with this one. So it's just, for me, it's like, I think people need to hold off and go, you know, we don't need to put these stuff up here, whatever, just be supportive and whatnot. The backlashing that you're hearing from some of the others, you know, honestly, I think a lot of it, I think that, I think a lot of them are good people, and, you know, that they've, a lot of them have their hearts, you know, for Michael. I don't think that a lot of them, I don't think there's any, as far as ill will. I think that, you know, when people feel like they're being attacked and their only resort is to, you know, be defensive back.
Yeah, it's that, like, so, you know, mob mentality we kind of talked about on one of our episodes is like, you know, it just gets going and it starts to take on a life of its own through social media, and it becomes this game of, you know, who gets the best jab in here and jab in there. And it completely kind of falls away from the reason that we were all originally on this page.
Well, and as fueled the fires, the names portions of it. So they turn around and they start saying, well, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. And then all of a sudden you start to create this doubt, and then the attacks come in, and the next thing you know, people feel like they're up against the ropes. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, and so I get that. So that's why I wanted to kind of, you know, go, okay, you know, let's back off of that stuff. And I actually went to the defense of one of the gals and said, hey, I said, this isn't called for, you know, and it was on this group. You know, even though they've, you know, they came out as far as the attacks. But, I mean, ultimately, the attacks only really came from Donovan's mother. And realistically, the two individuals who stir most of the stuff is actually two of the parents. It's not actually the individuals who are at the rave. It's the two parents. And I think, honestly, that they need to pull back the reins on them and say, hey, you just need to stop. You need to stop. Stop talking and stop coming up with these things, and they need to take them out of the equation. They were never there. And realistically, your kid's an adult. You don't You don't need to, you know, if you weren't there and you can't attest, then you have no business speaking whatsoever. Let your child speak. They're an adult. This is a reason why that they're in this scenario is because of the choices. The choices to go to a drug party and all these different things. They're going to be asked questions. They're going to be, until this has been solved, unfortunately, everybody's going to be asked over and over and over again these certain things until the answer. That's what happens in an investigation. It's not that people are just so dead set on just putting them high, you know, to hang them to dry.
Right.
So my advice is to the two parents that, you know, have been so, you know, in this other group that have been, you know, you're stirring the pot. Stop. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like you're creating things, and it's no different than the whole, you know, whoever the individual is that's sending the trampoline stuff. I mean, it's like I got a message last night from a fake account, and what they do, they sent a picture of a trampoline. And so jeez. I know it's the same individual, and I know who it is, and they're going to, you know, they'll be dealt with. And it's just a matter of, and they think they're safe, but they don't. It's like they don't realize, as far as the technology and the connections that we have, that I have, that everything's very narrowed down. It's like if I needed to go and talk to an individual or this and that, I know where they are.
Yeah.
I know where every single person on that list is. I mean, whether between Grants Pass or what, you know, they got fake alias names, or if they're a drug dealer that was out of Boise, I got you all. You're not going to hide. So, you know, that it is what it is. But,
yeah. And I kind of struggled with a little bit of that too. Just, you know, there's always these big claims right now of these witch hunts. And I don't want to be a part of a witch hunt, obviously. I don't think that anybody does. But that's been kind of an accusation that's been thrown out there. It's like, oh, well, this is just a witch hunt to the partygoers. And so, you know, I kind of said all along, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, we've told our story to hundreds of people. We're exhausted. We can't tell our story anymore. You know, I've said it a million times. And I said, okay, I totally get that. And I bet, you know, everyone and their mom is messaging you and wanting to know all the details. But I am actually creating a platform where your voice could be recorded and you only have to say it one time. Like if you contact me and we put your story out there, that will literally take away any other times that you might have to say that. Since you already spoke with law enforcement and you already spoke with the Brysons.
Right.
Come put your story out there, and anybody who comes to you after that and says, well, why aren't you talking? You can just send them the link. Here you go. Here's the podcast. I said everything right. I needed. You know, it could be that easy.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I think, you know, realistically, it, you know, and this is kind of another one of these reach outs as far as that group's concerned. And I'm going to basically speak to those ones where it's party. And I'm going to tell you guys that I already know. We know as far as who, we know as far as the time frame, we know as far as what takes place. And I know you're scared, and I know you don't want to be attached, and I know you don't want to do anything. There's nothing that actually, other than as far as just confirming as far as the vibe, that's all we need from you. It's nothing that you got to testify to or anything. It's just, I just need for you guys to go, okay, come together and go, okay, yeah, this is what we know as far as from at the camp, what kind of took place, because it answers the question as far as, you know, all the speculations of whether there was an argument on the bus or it was by the DJ thing. Didn't happen on the bus. Happened by the DJ place. I mean, it's like there's no doubt about it that there was some discussion that was going on, and I think that possibly Michael was looking for refuge to basically hope that he was going to buy himself some time, that they would leave or go away. And that's not what occurred. So I need you guys, I already know the story. I just need you guys to talk to me. No one's out to get you or nothing. I know you guys went out to have a good time with your friends. I get it. We got to swallow the pride. Time to put the parents and say, look, I'm an adult. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to go ahead and just do what I can. And then that way we can move on with life. Mm-hmm. And then get this thing wrapped up.
Yeah, because that, I mean, to me, what I'm hearing, you know, for anybody who's not on the whole Facebook page thing, you know, there's this divide happening right now. So we had the original Let's Find Michael Bryson Facebook page, and then we had a second group started called the Let's Find Michael Bryson support page. And basically, you know, in a nutshell, it was the party goers and friends of that were feeling either attacked or unheard on the original page. So they decided to start their own page and kind of give accounts or, you know, opinions or whatever on this other page. And it's created this gigantic rift. It's kind of the friends versus family, which is really sad. I mean, I think.
It did, but you know what really kind of made it boil is, you know, I think that the fact that, you know, afterward with the thing with Donovan, as far as the interview, that, you know, a couple of them didn't like hearing that, you know, that's what took place or whatever. And I don't know how he portrayed it to them, but, you know, and that's when they decided to go ahead and, you know, and I know it was the mother who turned around and was pulling these articles, and which brings to the point, you know, because when I did the live video, people were kind of, you know, they were upset because the fact as far as they thought I was being political. I wasn't trying to be political. What I was trying to do is address the fact that this these articles, which were totally left-sided, they weren't even accurate, and being used as if to try to paint my character. And so that's why I ended up saying, no, that's incorrect, because the only thing that took place was that during the start of the riots in June and all other stuff is that our town decided to stand up and say we weren't going to let that happen here. So, of course, you know, a lot of people's mindset, you know, in the political world on whatever certain sides that they try to say, well, if you're a white guy with an AR, then of course you got to be a white supremacist. That's not the case whatsoever. None. I'm a flat patriot, and I love everybody. I mean, all walks of life, you know. You ask the people of color, they'll tell you that I'm Uncle B to them. So it's kind of, you know, and they laugh when they read it. But no matter what your political views are, whatever, I'll still break bread with you at my house. That's all there is to it. And that's how I treat people. So I don't think that they're bad people whatsoever. I can turn around and, if one of them, something happened to them, I guarantee you, if somebody came to me and said, hey, you know, can you go find one of these? I'd be like, yeah, okay, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for anybody who hasn't been following it as closely as, you know, probably you and I have, just the kind of general idea that happened, you know, so we talked earlier about that interview with Donovan, you know, at the hotel, and that you questioned him without Parrish. And from your perspective, it went just fine. You guys went out to pizza afterwards and carried on with your investigation and your life. And then turned out, I don't know if it was a couple weeks or days or whatever later, Donovan came forward with a story of being extremely intimidated and frightened for his life, saying that this interview at the hotel was not, let's say, an interview, but more, let's say, like an interrogation with a chair in the corner and a gun. And I mean, it sounded like something out of a horror movie. You know, it sounded very traumatizing. And so then he comes, you know, and gets this group that's very, you know, upset about this. And they're taking Donovan's word for true fact. And he has a group behind him. And so it's kind of this rift here. We have you and the Brysons saying, no, no, wait a minute. That's not what happened. And it's getting blown out of proportion. And then you got the other side that's saying, well, wait, no, this guy came in from Idaho with his big gun and he sat me down in a hotel room and I was scared and I didn't know, you know, it's these two polar opposite sides. So to just kind of be here and hearing both sides, it's all the drama. My goodness.
I think it'd be a good time for him to retract that, because I think, you know, one, it's recorded, and then not only that, but two, you know, I made this comment. I mean, it's like his prints are all over my gun because he's holding up to it. And it's like, if he was held at gunpoint, then why is it he's holding the guns?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an oxymoron on that deal. And
if it comes to the point where, you know, this is the hill that they're going to die on, and I'm not sure exactly, you know, what direction they're gonna go with it or whatever. Are you at the point where you'll, you know, release that video then and say, okay, you know, that's what you want to say, you know, I have the video proof, or is that, are we just kind of done with all of this and it's just too much now to?
Well, I don't worry about it, because the fact is that the sheriff's department already has it in their possession. So if they were to go try to file, the sheriff's department is going to turn around and say, sorry, because we've got your interview right here and you're calm as day. And in fact, you're at the end of the thing, you're making jokes about some chick squirting breast milk all over the campsite. So we don't buy it.
Yeah.
So that's what he's going to be faced with. So,
yeah. Well, so you're like, good luck kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, it's like, my thing is, if he wants to keep tuning that, that's entirely up to him. It doesn't bother me whatsoever, because if I want to know the truth, God knows the truth. And two, the second part is that's on camera. So
right.
And then not only that, but there's also another person who isn't involved with this party who he had sat and had pizza with. And he'll attest to the fact that this guy was making jokes and everything at the table with us. There was no way that this guy was scared about anything.
Okay. So it's, yeah. So for you, it's not even really a problem, because it's just,
it can
be debunked type of thing.
It's like, what it really does is it takes the credibility away from the guys in the other group. And that's why I was just recommending, as far as to kind of get off of it, because if you're wanting to maintain that page and you're wanting to maintain your fans on there, you got to stop. It's because this, all it's going to do is it's going to lessen your credibility. And then the people are going to go, okay, the other group's right. You guys are, you know, you're hiding something. You're lashing out. You're doing the wrong. So I think it's best to go, okay, let's wipe the clay clean, and let's get back to what the main focus is, and let's get some help. And then let's talk about
How do we bridge this back? Like, do you think there's even a way to, I mean, in your opinion, how can we bring this back together to where everyone, there's just one page, everybody's helping, we're not doing the drama, point the finger, we all can just say, okay, friends of Michael, family of Michael, whoever you are, here's the page and here's what we're trying to do. Is there a way in your mind that can happen?
Yeah, there is. There's two things that need to take place. And that is one, everybody needs to swallow their pride. And the second thing is that there's two parents that need to be basically removed from the equation. I know they'd like to help, but unfortunately, from the way that everything has transpired, I just don't find them to be an asset. And I think that basically their children should tell them, I need you to back out of this thing and just
let me do it.
Do your social media thing, whatever, stay out of this thing, whatever, because it's not bringing anything good to light whatsoever.
So besides the parents, though, let's say those two go away and, you know, because some of the partygoers themselves have said they've also expressed, oh, I don't want to be part of that page or whatever. So let's say those two parents go away. How can it be bridged?
It's kind of one of those things where, like I said, I know the truth. I'm the one with the evidence. So it's like, for me, I'm not out anything, you know? So, the thing is that he's got to be the one to look people in the face and say, yo, okay. Yeah, that's really what happened. So if unfortunately he wants to go ahead and ride that train out as that, then I guess that's up to him, because in the end, what's going to end up happening and the proof's going to be in the pudding. And then, he's not going to look good in the end. So I would just recommend, let's get off that whole thing.
Let's merge them back together and get, you know, there's no friends versus family. It's all, you know, Michael's family at this point. And I think that it can happen. I'd like to see it happen. I don't know what it's going to take on both ends. And I'll probably try to ask everybody I can, you know, what do you think it's going to take? Because that's what I think Michael would want at this point.
Well, and they would, and I know the Brysons would like to go ahead and bridge stuff. I think with some of the stuff that's taken place, that they're going to be, you know, they're going to treat stuff with kid gloves because of the fact that something
hurtful.
The main thing is trust is got to be earned. So unfortunately, now we're going backwards trying to go ahead and regain that. So, you know, when people are scorned a little bit, you know, we got to make sure that we do things correctly. And, you know, with what I've stated, as far as this interview is concerned, if they listen or whatever, they know exactly what it is I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And if they can't bring to that equation to help out for that portion of it, then they're not helping the situation. Dancing around, trying to talk about the fact is leaving at 4 o'clock isn't going to work for me, because that's not what took place. No, he didn't walk off at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, and it seems to me, and I don't, you know, I don't pry. I just let people say what they want to say, for the most part, but it seems to be there's a big a veil over the drug portion of this and who buys it, who sells it, who's involved with it. And I think that that's the biggest speed bump we're running into right now. As far as I'm concerned, getting people to talk to me, the general feeling that I'm getting is that, you know, when drugs are involved, people don't want to talk. Either you bought it and you shouldn't have, or you sell it and you shouldn't, or you know somebody who does one of those two things and you don't want to talk about it.
Right.
That seems to be the only case as far as dancing around stuff.
Right. And the thing is that now with Oregon legalizing what they did, I mean, it's going to change the variable quite, you know, considerably. But it's all going to come down to the same thing. And that's as far as these scenarios, and that is that either one, you stole from them, or you owe them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And those are usually the two things in the drug world that gets people into trouble. And we don't know all the details. I know there's a lot of stuff that's out there that we picked up on.
Oh,
there's
things
potentially could be linked to other cases that happened prior that we're working with or whatever. So this whole thing could turn into a big monopoly or a big domino effect. And the next thing you know, it's just going to go boom, 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 boom.
Hmm.
And got a few cases taken care of. So it's, I'm going to keep doing, I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep showing up. They won't know it. And I'm going to go and this will get solved. This will get done. And justice will be served. That's all there is to it, period.
I hope that is true. And I, you know, I believe in our system. And I also believe that, you know, there are good people out there that will do the right thing, whether it takes them 3 months or 3 years or whatever it is, but hopefully sooner rather than later. A quick question I want to touch on, I won't keep you much longer, but I'm just curious. I've seen quite a few comments very recently on the support page talking about that a lot of them seem to think that Michael very well could be alive. And did you go down that avenue at all? And if so, you know, what kind of led you away from it? Or what do you think about all that?
I had the disadvantage because how I got to learn about Michael was from his parents and from his, you know, sister and from his aunt, right, and uncle. And that's, you know, that's kind of the thing. And everything as far as talking about, as far as the mannerisms and the things that the daily stuff, the things that he would do, and even the things that, even if he was getting himself into any types of trouble, or whatever, he'd still contact his dad because he was always looking for an avenue as far as how to get himself out.
Right.
And so there's no doubt about it in my mind whatsoever. There's nothing that says, oh, he just decided to go ahead and walk away and start out fresh somewhere. Didn't happen that way. There's nothing that Michael's not at some religious camp. He's not sold at some, you know, sex trafficking thing. He's not, you know, this. So for those of you who are thinking that stuff, stop saying it, because that's not the case whatsoever. Michael Bryson went camping with his friends. He had a bad feeling about it. He knows why he had a bad feeling about it. And, you know, unfortunately, that feeling had a reason. Mm-hmm. And now we're here. And at this point right now, the only thing that we need to do is focus on, as far as that time variable, as far as the groups that showed up, we need to focus as far as that. And then the other stuff, and we need to put, you know, cut the garbage on everything else and just come together and let's get this done. And let's get these guys off the streets, period.
Yeah. And just real quick on the thing that you're, because you're kind of looking for some confirmation, it sounds like. I mean, you know some things and, you know, you're not going to go into what you do and don't specifically, but what you're looking for from this group that was there is a confirmation on perhaps certain individuals that showed up, you said. And do you have a time frame around that, or you just want to kind of leave it as vague as that and say, hey, there's some people that showed up to this party and I need you guys to come forward and tell me about them? Or what exactly are you looking for?
I'm basically, if they're paying attention, they weren't totally, you know, totally blazing at that point, whatever. And they noticed and they felt that vibe and they, you know, were aware as far as that, then they need to come talk. If they don't know about any of that, they weren't around, they were sleeping or they were walking around, they have no clue, then, you know, then they just came to another party and, you know, something bad took place. But if they know what I'm talking about and referring to, which is very simple, and they know in their hearts if they know it, you guys just need to, don't be afraid, come talk to me. And believe me, the ways as far as this, well, I want to make sure that you're protected and that no one's going to do anything.
Yeah, because that's important. I think that's a big factor here for, I mean, it would be if I were the one, I'd be thinking like, how are you going to, what am I going to do if I, you know, go and spill these details?
We have ways. Okay. And all I can tell you is and reassure you is that I have ways. Trust me, I have ways. You just need to talk to me and you can even talk to me about as far as the thing before you give this sort of information, mm-hmm, to where you feel secure enough. And then we'll talk about that avenue.
How do you want them to contact you?
You know, they can private message me on
your Facebook.
On Facebook. I'm only going to be there, I think, till the December 1st. And after that, I'm probably going to be jumping out of there. But they can also, they can contact Bryson's, the group page, contacts on administrators or whatever, and just say, hey, I want to talk to Brett. Or if you don't want to talk to me and you want to, you know, you want to talk to somebody else, whatever, it's totally fine. Just take this stuff off your shoulders right now and just know that you're not giving up anything that we don't already know.
Right. Okay? You're just a confirmation so that we can move forward.
Exactly. So yeah, that's all they... So there's nothing that they're, you know, they're not throwing anybody under the bus by any means, because the fact is that we've already got it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I mean, I hope, yeah, please, if you know something, like you said, contact either Brett, you can contact the Brysons, you can contact any of the admins if you need to contact me and I can get you in touch with the right people, whatever it needs to be, let's get it done and, you know, let's bring them home. So the last thing I want to ask you, I end all my interviews this way, and you know, I know it's speculation. We don't know exactly what happened at this point, but in your opinion, what do you think happened to Michael?
I think people in life make decisions. I think they get caught up into different worlds. I think people that you think are your friends actually can think of you as a burden in some ways. I think that evil exists in anybody if there's a reason. And I think that this was a set out plan. It was a planned event. And I think that someone who is in the world or whatever that was there at the rave is the one who advised them that he was going to be there. And here we are. And so it's, I think that realistically, between people puddling each other and people going missing and everything. And all I can honestly tell you is if you're in the drug scene or whatever, and as far as friends are concerned or whatever, you need to really kind of evaluate as far as how much you actually take and how safe do you feel around individuals, especially when you know that certain people do certain things to individuals. There's no way that you can be coherent all the time. And then basically, especially like, let's say, camping, for instance. There's no way that anybody could feel comfortable of wanting to go camping with these, you know, with a group of individuals who have been labeled to do certain things and feel safe.
Yeah, and he was actually, I mean, he was kind of warned. I have some information that he was actually warned about that, specifically the puddling thing, that this group is known for that, so just watch yourself kind of thing. So it's, one of those things, it's a judgment call, right? Like a last-second thing, do I want to go camping? Well, you know, I kind of heard some crappy stuff. Well, yeah, maybe I'll go anyways, but it's those decisions that you're talking about. You know, you really got to evaluate your life and think about them.
Well, and I think that's what also I think is a big thing as far as for these twins that put on these parties and on those buses. I think that basically this is going to, you know, either people are going to take away from it going, okay, not a big deal, and they're going to go on and they're going to do these parties, or they're going to try and go, you know what, I don't want to really go to your parties because the fact that people end up missing and then there is nothing but chaos and bad things that take place. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
It's a bad thing. And, but you know, at the same time that you can't really pin and say, well, did you know as far as this or that or whatever, they may not even know that any of this was going to occur, but I can tell you one person did, at least one person who was there did know. That's, and I know for a fact he did.
It has to be. Somebody does. It just has to. I mean, odds are with that many people around, statistically, has to be somebody that knows something.
He does. He does know. And he knows. And he sat back. He sat back on his paws. And I think he and I both know that we're the biggest adversaries to each other, even though we've never spoke. And any of the questions I've ever asked, never addressed to. But I see right through you, period. And I know everything about you. Everything.
All right. Well, that's about as solid of an answer as I could really ask for. So, man, I hope something shakes loose. I mean, it seems like you're shaking the tree pretty hard.
Yeah, I can say is brace for impact because shit's going to happen. I can tell you that right now. And this is not something I'm just going to sit on my hands with, I guarantee you. You know, if you're one of these people that had to know, you know, knew, and it ends up when it all comes out and then you get attached, you were given the opportunity.
All right. Okay, don't come crying afterwards. This is your opportunity right now before it all blows up to be that person. I mean, I hate to bring it up, but they always say, you know, first person who comes forward usually gets the best deal. And
it may just unattach them from anything because of the fact that, you know, maybe they didn't know, or as far as, you know, scared, or there's the heat of the moment. There's all these different variables that happen within when it comes to loss. So it's like the only thing you can do is just be forthright, and then, you know, keep it quiet and, you know, whisper. You can whisper it to us, but just get us further. You know, if he really was if Michael truly was your friend, as much as you say that he is, that you cared for him, then come talk to me about that little stuff. And I guarantee you, you're not going to be ousted by any way whatsoever. Show your friend that you really did care and you do love him, because he's watching right now. He's watching everything that you do, and he's watching, and he knows whether or not you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a matter of time before it comes out. So might as well beat the punch and be the person who steps forward and get that off your conscience.
Yep, that'd be right.
Well, that was super informative. I feel like that's exactly what people have been kind of wanting to know. We see you on social media, and we only get these little glimpses here and there. So to really sit down and kind of pick your brain about all of that, I think is going to be very eye-opening for people.
Yeah, and I just want, you know, you guys to know, too, because I know there was a lot of talk as far as, you know, the political liberal stuff, whatever. And to be honest with you, I have plenty of friends that are liberal, and we make jokes at each other, and we put stickers on each other's cars and whatnot, and we razz each other and stuff. But like I said, at the end of the day, it's just I don't ever let politics come between friends and you know, where your hearts are. So just know that, you know.
As far as Michael Bryson goes, politics has no home here, and no reason to really be spoken about. We all are under the family of wanting to find Michael and bring him home, and loving the Brysons and loving anybody who is connected to him. So it just doesn't have a place here. And anybody who continues to bring that up, it's a detriment to this case at this point, and it needs to stop.
Well, this is one of the things I live by, too, is that if you're hanging off the edge of a cliff and I put my hand out there and I say, take my hand so I can save you, the first thing you're going to say out of your mouth isn't going to be, well, which way do you vote?
Right. So true. Yeah. So take the hand, and we can all just get over all of our personal stuff like that, and realize that there's something much bigger at hand here. And just, you know, you said it before, swallow your pride and I think reprioritize why you're here and what you're doing to help, and it should all fall into place from there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this interview with us. And I really hope that, you know, whatever you need to come forward, it all comes out, and this just gets tied up with a nice little bow, and this family can get some closure, and, you know, we can all kind of just take a deep sigh of relief in some ways.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate, you know, especially with you doing these podcasts, because I don't think people really realize as far as the amount of time and energy that it puts into, as far as, you know, once doing the interviews and turn around and breaking them down and put them together so that these viewers can actually have something of substance. And, you know, I know you're working for free, so it's kind of one of those deals where, you know, it's time consuming. Putting a show together costs money. I'm in the TV industry. I know it all costs money. So, big hats off to you for constantly keeping people enveloped. And I think realistically, the reason why this group has gotten so large is also because of your podcast too. So I think hats off to you for that.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's, just one of those adventures I didn't ever really plan. You know, it's like we kind of joke, it's like a 2020 strikes again. You know, this thing just kind of lands in your lap. And like you said, you just had this connection and started to dive in, ask questions and poke around and see what happens. And here we all are.
Yeah. So no, it's crazy.
It's a roller coaster.
It is. It's been that. And then I've tried to put a few comments into a couple of these other cases that have taken place. But like I said, it goes back to that. Some of that, you know, those things that people were saying have, you know, it steered people for the wrong reason. And it didn't help other people. And so I think you didn't deserve
that deal, that ripple effect, right? You know, it just keeps going a reputation, whether it's true or not, has this ripple effect, and it goes.
Well, it does, and they shared this last one I saw that they had posted, and it actually came from somebody who was running for sheriff, and they don't realize that this guy is actually a joke. He was a guy who has been arrested twice, so it's a criminal here that was trying to run for sheriff because he's mad at the sheriff's department, and so he wrote this blog. and none of it's correct whatsoever. And so now this guy's getting, he's actually getting sued by me for his defamation and libel. But yet they toted this and think that it's fact. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? You don't even have anything that's valid or with merit. And you're making your group worse.
Yeah. It's tough. You know, anybody can put out an article and it goes both ways. So it's, it'll all shake out, though. I really do feel that way, you know, whether it's through lawsuits or whatever it has to be. The truth has a way of showing up. I know that I've said this before, but wow, that was a lot of information to process. Obviously, there's still a lot we don't know. My hope is that whatever needs to be confirmed to move forward comes out soon, so that everyone who's involved can move to the next stage of this, whatever that may be. Next week, we'll hear from Bree, another partygoer who was on the list and who was actually awake at 4 a.m. on August 5th. At that point, we'll have heard a good variety of people involved, and I think we're due for a serious recap.
Next time on Nowhere to Be Found.
So my name is Bree. I was invited by the birthday girl, Josie, and Hunter. A little bit of drama went down, so some people went home. Everyone was just kind of burnt out. I have not been quiet about the drugs that I use that I believe Michael had used.
We've been asked how our listeners can contribute to the show, so we set up an account with Patreon. Check out the link in our show notes if you're interested in supporting our cause. You can also find it on our website, nowheretobefoundpodcast.com.